Hi guys, and welcome back to the Stretford Paddock podcast, where I'm joined by Boosh today, and we're going to be going over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a manager and whether we think he needs to improve or not. So this is off the back of our 2-1 loss to Crystal Palace, and it means that we've only won 3 in the last 16 competitive games under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, only 1 in the last 9, of course the Chelsea 4-0 thumping. We're going to be overlooking his tactics, overlooking, you know, the way that he manages, the players that he chooses. And we're going to see whether we think he needs improving. So what are your initial thoughts on it all?
There are parts of the game that do need improving. I think we do rely a lot on our fullbacks, whereas I don't think they are naturally the sort of onward attacking fullbacks that we probably need, but obviously they've got time to develop that, because obviously Wan-Bissaka's only a young lad. He provided a couple of assists in pre-season, which is maybe a sign of things to maybe come in future games, but I think Luke Shaw, unfortunately, you know, he's out for a month, but I think he's one that we've really he's needed work for the last few years, really. And midfield wise, we need to be a bit more gritty and in our defensive side of it, and he's been more creative. That's me.
And I think the creativity really is the key. Against Palace, United only had 22 shots. We had 22 shots, is a lot, but only 3 of which were on target. So that's a sign that we just didn't create real chances. And I think the Independent decided that we had only 2 real clear-cut chances that were actually created. One was very finely taken by Daniel James. I think that's a sign that when we come up against 2 backs of 4 or a very organised defence, we struggle. We really struggle to get over it. Whereas when we're playing counter-attacking football, when we're playing against bigger teams, we look like a different team. We play fantastically. And I think this is where the sort of anomalies and the uniqueness to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's sort of tactics and him as a manager sort of appears. Against top 6 teams, we've looked really good. So if you ignore the games in that sort of run of 10 games, if you take the 28 games since then, they split very evenly into 2 camps. You've got 14 where we dominated possession and 14 where we had very little. Now, we only won 4 of the 14 games where we saw more of the ball, but we won 9 of the 14 in which we saw less of the ball. That's thanks to the Independent. Now, and I think that's a clear sign that his tactical style as a manager is very much built off of fast-paced counter-attacking football. Getting for the ball from one end of the pitch to the other end of the pitch very, very quickly. And that's what we did against Chelsea. Chelsea highlighted our positives as a team. The ability to go from one end of the pitch to the other is a very, very useful one. And the danger that we have of speed on the counter-attack is fantastic. I think that was probably best seen from Rashford's second goal, where he just received the ball, got past the defender, finishes it very well. And Daniel James's goal, where Paul Pogba bursts down the other end of the pitch after McTominay gets the ball out very quickly. And we score from that. In a similar vein, though, Crystal Palace showed the real negatives in our team, which is that we do not have the creativity to break down an organised defence, to break down a team that defends well. Like Tim Cahill was fantastic for Crystal Palace. We weren't able to win any of the aerial duels. We struggled to get past them. We lacked that spark, that engine, that spark in midfield to push the ball forward. Do you think that the blame is put on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for not changing tactics for that game?
Yes, because we did really play the counter attacking set of players. When you know that Crystal Palace, the way that they set up, aren't going to give much room in behind, and we have got a set of forward going players that really do look to get in behind all the time. I do believe that we should have maybe sacrificed one of the 3 up front. We started with Martial, Rashford, and Daniel James. I think we should have definitely had maybe Andreas Pereira, maybe just as a player who can try and break down the defence. Or Wan-Mata. Wan-Mata's the obvious one, probably.
Wan-Mata's a big one, in my opinion, yeah.
Because he's a magician when he's on the ball. We didn't particularly need a really quick player to do the job that was needed, because there wasn't any space in behind to exploit pace-wise anyhow. So I think without the creativity there, it really forces to sort of rely heavily on Paul Pogba to do almost everything, because he was playing in a deeper role to try and compromise for the lack of progressive forward passing play in deep areas. And then he also had to sort of like go further up pitch, but it would have been better if we had two creative players rather than one, so that we didn't just get snuffed out.
And for me, the Paul Pogba debate is a big one. Now, I think we can all agree that Paul Pogba is best the further forward that he is. And in the first sort of 10 games of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign, Paul Pogba plays considerably further forward than he does now. And in that position, he's able to get the most out of his creativity. He's able to have shots when he wants. He's able to make more effective passes. He's able to get into the box and be an aerial threat. As you know, we saw in the Chelsea FA Cup game, for example, he scored a fantastic goal. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came into the United temporary job, having said that he wants to build a team around Paul Pogba. And when he built that team around Paul Pogba, or at least organised it around him, it looked brilliant. It looked good. And as he was sort of forced to push Paul Pogba back, it looks worse. And this is where I think a counter-argument to the idea that it's Solskjaer's fault is an important element. Because to what degree is it the fact that we don't have the players to allow him to play what he wants? If we had a truly creative central attacking midfielder, or we had a good enough CDM to partner McTominay to allow Paul Pogba to play in that cam position, so we could have a real interchangeable creative midfield, that we would have looked a lot better. And therefore, it's not per se Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's fault, but he is dealing with a team that we know lack players, that we knew lacked players all over the pitch going into the transfer window. We prioritised the defence, as we should have, but that doesn't mean that we got a creative cam. That doesn't mean that we got a creative or fast or good enough right winger. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with it. I think that the summer transfer window left us pretty short in that midfield area. It was very... It's hard to say. You could say it's either naive, or you could say it was more bank sheet sort of area for the replacements. Because when you lose, even though Fellaini wasn't perceived as being an absolute masterstroke, the player wasn't perceived to be world class or anything, he always popped up with important goals. Mm-hmm. And it does make you wonder at times when we were struggling at the tail end of last season, as much as he wasn't a fan favourite to some, but he did always give his all in every game. You sometimes think, well, would he have maybe got us that extra goal just to drag us over the line and stuff like that? And obviously, Ander was a big loss, but obviously PSG coming with a big contract. It was said that he got a one-year trigger clause extension after the FA Cup final.
Yeah, I think...
And we didn't really act upon it. We should have really offered him a better deal there and then, and we sort of got our pants pulled down in the sense that... Like, really, we were caught napping on his contract.
Yeah, I agree. For me, Herrera's one of those players that you wish that we had kept. Fellaini scored some important goals and played an important role. But, you know, I can understand why we let him go and why, you know, a lot of people weren't happy with him, didn't consider him a United player. I get that. With Herrera, it was the perfect partner in the short term. Mm-hmm. By no means is he a long-term option. By no means is he do I consider him like in an ideal United squad that's pushing for a title? He wouldn't be in the first 11. But he's a good player to have there covering Paul Pogba, so that Paul Pogba can be creative up front. And then Solskjaer's tactics, I think, will come into play. Now, and I think the narrative that we're seeing that Solskjaer's tactics aren't good enough, or that Solskjaer doesn't know what he's doing, does need to be questioned to a degree. We lost by two preventable errors in the Crystal Palace game. The ball happened to bounce to Van Aanholt. He finished it. De Gea probably should have saved. Lindelof and the back line made a mistake. Made a mistake for Ayew's goal. Three mistakes if you include the penalty miss.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on another day, Rashford hits that, it's going in the back of the net. If you go back to the Wolves game, we drew that game, preventable mistake. Mm-hmm. Pogba could have finished it. We could have had somebody on the edge of the box. I think our overall performances are looking good.
Mm-hmm.
But against those teams that sit back and soak up the pressure, we do not have the creativity. And I do think Solskjaer should have known that going into this game. I do think the key mistake there is having played Lingard. I do think Lingard didn't suit the game for Crystal Palace, didn't suit the game for Wolves. I think a player like, when you look into the club, which you have to at the moment, Juan Mata would have been a better choice. Juan Mata, I don't believe, should be first team starting 11 quality. I love Juan Mata with all my heart, but you know, in an ideal world, again, he wouldn't be in a team pushing for trophies and stuff. But he is the best that we got. And he really, really does. He really is technically magical. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that.
Yeah.
And he would have been a considerably better option in those games than Lingard. Mm-hmm. And I think that we do have to question why he doesn't make those errors. Another element of it is his substitution choices. Now, an element of that is the fact that we don't have depth anywhere.
Yeah.
With Martial now out and with Luke Shaw now out, we have less depth even than we had before. This means that we have to rely on a Greenwood. We have to rely on a Juan Mata to come off the bench. These are not particularly impact players. Greenwood is becoming an incredibly good player.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. But to rely on him as the impact sub, I think, is unfair on him, puts unfair pressure on him. And it's unfair on Ole, who doesn't have any other options. And I think that's why he's been making substitutions late. And I think making substitutions earlier against Crystal Palace, Greenwood came on quite early, that it didn't change the tactics of the team. I do think that we do need to question that to a degree. Do you think that Ole is too much of a passion merchant, that he's too much of a history FC sort of guy, than he is tactically astute?
That's a really good question. It'd be interesting to see what people in the comments make of that. Yeah. Ole obviously tries to stick with what he's known when he was at United, what he was taught by Sir Alex. But at the same time, Sir Alex Ferguson was very sort of, he could always adapt to anything. Mm-hmm. You know, he obviously adapted to nearly three decades of football and was successful throughout 20 years of it, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe even more. But really, I do feel as though Ole maybe needs to just look at here and now sort of thing, mm-hmm. and what he's got, what suits the players best. I think we are probably suited mainly to counter-attacking style, but the problem is that we don't have the versatility in the squad to always change it up.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I thought on Saturday when he was making his, or even against Wolves when he made his changes late, you sort of feel as though he maybe thinks that is literally the best team I've got.
Yeah.
Like when they're out there, yeah. I haven't got anything.
I think that's a major element of it.
Yeah, I haven't really got anything that really challenges on the bench. Like you have like players who can come in, like Mata, who is, I'd say, better than Lingard, but. I think that's the biggest problem. Something that I'd be quite interested to see soon is when Axel Tuanzebe will get a chance, because I think Lindelof is a little bit suspect in the first few games.
I think that's an interesting point, because we came into the season convinced that it was going to be Lindelof and Maguire. Now, I think Lindelof still is a very good centre-back, and I think he'll be the option going forward. An element maybe of giving Tuanzebe a chance alongside Maguire. And Maguire's made basically no mistakes. There's an argument that he could have and should have shadowed the ball possibly going behind Lindelof to stop Ayew. But Maguire, other than that, has been completely, completely solid, which is a complete difference to what we've had before.
Mm-hmm.
Another player, young player that we want to see is Gomez, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are like, why isn't he being in the squad? Why isn't he playing first team football already? He's clearly our best creative midfielder. Well, you aren't manager of Manchester United, so you don't see what's going on in training. And two, it's such a massive step up to go from playing reserve football to going to be in the match day squad to being in the starting 11. That is not, you don't jump. Very few players jump like that.
Yeah.
Rashford jumped. But beyond that, there's very few players that you see regularly do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about carefully nurturing that player into that position. When he will almost, I think he'll be in the squad going for the Southampton game. on the matchday squad. If he's in that squad, he might get minutes. If he gets more minutes, he gets better. Mm-hmm. If he starts the FA Cup tie, he starts the League Cup tie, he starts a Europa League game, you get better and better and better as the season progresses, he'll be integrated. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the season, he'll either be on the bench or a starter. That's how progression, and that's how you integrate a youth player mm-hmm. over the course of a season. It's not a Football Manager, it's not FIFA. You cannot just throw your young wonder kid straight in. Mm-hmm. Marcus Rashford was... situations meant that he had to jump in, but he would have been training with the first team squad before that. He would have been getting used to men's football mm-hmm. before that. And I do think that part of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a manager, the youth element of it, is something that we've been crying out for years at Manchester United. Youth and attacking football, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has delivered both of those things. Mm-hmm. Now, against those Crystal Palace teams, against those Wolves teams, it's, you know, we have struggled. And I do think he needs to change his tactics for that. Although a big element of it is that we lack a creative midfielder who can really penetrate that static line. Mm-hmm. He's brought in youth and he's brought in attacking football. Where do we go if those two things fail?
Again, that's another interesting question, because we feel as though, in a way, that if Ollie isn't the one, which obviously we all want him to be, that we will have exhausted a fair few amount of options, because after Sir Alex in the Premier League era, you would have probably gone, right, so the next best manager that you could probably get, obviously, is Jose Mourinho. Mm-hmm. And we've obviously had him. I think things would have been a bit more differently, or would have turned out a bit more different, if he was maybe given a bit more freedom in the transfer market to get his players in.
It's not as if we don't have the money.
But at the same time, he didn't particularly want the youthful side, but he wanted more, you know, players who were here and now ready just to walk straight in and mm-hmm. and change things and get the results for him, because obviously with football being such a pressure business nowadays. But I think if it doesn't work now, then you suddenly get a feeling that it might never have, it really has to work now, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's why we have to be prepared to give him time. Mm-hmm. I've said that I think we're finishing fifth this season, and we might well finish fourth. We might well do better. I do think we'll get a trophy somewhere along the line. Europa League, FA Cup, League Cup. One of those, I would hope. Even if we don't, I think as a United club, as a fan base, we need to be prepared to give time. Mm-hmm. This is a risky road that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is taking us on. It is we are sacrificing a little bit of short-term rebuild. We're sacrificing a little bit of short-term success for as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer calls it, the long rebuild. Mm-hmm. We are going after something a distant in the future. We're not going after a couple seasons of playing good football like Chelsea have continuously. We're not going after that sort of thing. We're going after building a dynasty again, like we had before. We're going after developing our own players. We're going after challenging for successive Premier League titles. We're not going after doing it to try and get up to Manchester City and Liverpool's level now or in the next 5 years, because that's not going to happen. We're doing it so that in 5 years' time, in 6 years' time, we will be good enough, and we'll have done it our own way. It's a risky road that Ole is at the wheel and mm-hmm. driving us along, but in the distance, there might just be the dream. There might just be some glory. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for listening to us, guys. Make sure to listen to us on Spotify. We're on there. Make sure to subscribe to that if you haven't already, and drop some reviews. Make sure to subscribe on the Stretford Paddock channel. Just keep on seeing this type of content, match day content, fan cams, podcasts, videos on the history of Manchester United, proper sort of journalism. Mm-hmm. So make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for watching. I've been Patrick with Boosh. See you later.